From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Megan Mack. Our connection this hour was made in the pages of the Wall Street Journal, where President Trump made some comments about upstate New York. He was talking about jobs, and he painted a very bleak picture for upstate. In fact, the president suggested that people who can't find work in New York should move to another state. And he said that they should consider leaving their houses behind, even if they can't sell them. So essentially just giving up and walking away. Congressman Tom Reed has said that while he doesn't agree with the president, he understands why Trump made those comments. Reed said that upstate New York has experienced the Rust Belt effect. He doesn't think people should leave their homes behind, but he said that life is difficult for many residents in this area. So we invited some of the people who are involved in economic development in our region. We wanted to know what they think about the president's comments regarding upstate New York, and we want to know how they view the overall jobs outlook going forward. In a sense, our guests are boosters of the region. They're advocates for job growth and new business, but we're asking them to offer the most realistic view they can. And we'll ask our listeners as well, have you considered leaving upstate New York or New York State because you've been able to find work here? Do you know someone who has left the area because they couldn't find a job? You can call the program and share your story. It's 844-295-TALK. That's 844-295-8255. Or if you're in Rochester, 263-WXXI, 263-9994. You can also email the program at connections@wxxi.org, or I'm on Twitter at mmacmedia. But before we jump to your comments, I'd like to introduce my guests. Joining me here in the WXXI studio in Rochester is Matt Hurlbut, Interim President and CEO of Greater Rochester Enterprise. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
And quickly, for those who don't know, what is GRE?
Greater Rochester Enterprise is the organization in the community supported by our business community and other partners that is really leading the effort to bring more businesses to the area and help companies grow.
Great. And joining us from the WEOS studio, Finger Lakes Public Radio in Geneva, is Matt Horn, Geneva City Manager. Hi, Matt. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Mike Manikowski is the Chief Economic Developer for Ontario County, also at WEOS. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Megan. Thanks for having us this morning. This afternoon, I should say.
Indeed. Well, I'd like to kick things off by reading President Trump's comments about upstate New York. Now, this all started with a discussion about the number of factories that he says will be built under his administration. And particularly, he was talking about where the electronics manufacturer Foxconn, where their plant will be located. At the time, Foxconn was deciding between a few locations, which included Utica and Wisconsin. The plant could create as many as 13,000 new jobs. And following this interview, the company did choose Wisconsin. But here's what President Trump said in that Wall Street Journal interview last week about how companies like Foxconn would find workers. He said, quote, "Where do we have the people? You know where we have the people? In New York State that can't get jobs, in many other places that can't get jobs. And people are going to have to start moving. They're going to move to Colorado, and they're going to move to Iowa and Wisconsin." He continued, quote, "I'm going to start explaining to people when you have an area that just isn't working, like upper New York State, where people are getting very badly hurt, and then you'll have another area 500 miles away where you can't get people, I'm going to explain you can leave. It's okay. Don't worry about your house. You know, a lot of them don't leave because of their house, because they say, gee, my house, I thought it was worth $70,000, and now it's worth nothing. It's okay. Go cut your losses, right?" End quote. Now, those comments are similar to arguments made by conservative writer Kevin Williamson, who wrote the following in the National Review online. Quote, "With the decline of these former factory towns, we are still left with the same choice we had at the beginning. Either people take responsibility for their own economic affairs, or we maintain them indefinitely in government dependency. There isn't a third option. There are things we can do to help. I've suggested repackaging a share of our spending on unemployment benefits as moving assistance, structuring the program in such a way as to make it more financially attractive to move for a job than to stay in place and collect a check." End quote. Now, a lot to digest. But Matt Hurlbut, I'll turn to you first. What were your initial reactions to President Trump's statements?
Well, I think I hate to get involved in political discourse, but we look at the world a little differently in the reality of what we're seeing. We're very actively involved in projects where companies are considering the Greater Rochester region for expansions that are new to the Northeast market. and their competitive projects, such as a deal like Foxconn. And we have assets that we bring to the table in that case, as well as many projects where local companies are expanding. There are jobs available in the community, and there are a lot of good things going on, even on the community development side, buildings being built and new opportunities for people.
So it would be fair to say that, quote, Rochester is working, and I know that your GRE is particularly looking at food processing in the IT sector. Tell us a little bit about where the growth is in those industries.
Well, and I think you see it. There's an announcement recently with H.P. Hood, who has purchased a former Mueller Quaker facility. We'll be spending over $200 million there and hiring 230 people in the food and beverage space. It's going to be a milk-based product. OFD Foods is going to build a new facility here in Monroe County. It's a 50,000-square-foot facility, hiring about 30 people, spending $25 million. And that's because of the talented people that we have here, the infrastructure, the assets. And even the cost of doing business in upstate New York is different than the metropolitan areas on the East Coast. And we have great proximity to markets as well as partners such as the folks that we have on the show with us today who are very good at what they do at the local level. So our connectivity and assets in the private realm as well as our ability to work with public-private partnerships and get things done really is difficult to match throughout the area. And we get that feedback from people that we deal with.
Let's take a look at some of the numbers from New York State. This is from June. Data from the Department of Labor, New York State's private sector job growth count increased by 23,900, or 0.3%, to 8,079,200. And that's a new record high, according to preliminary figures released by the Department of Labor. So what Matt's saying, what the Department of Labor saying, is not nearly as bleak as what President Trump is saying. We'll turn to Ontario County now. And Mike Manikowski, what are you seeing in your county? Looks like we're having some technical issues with our feed with WEOS, so our engineer John will take a look at that. And Matt.
Yeah.
Matt is here in Rochester. Matt, when you look at some of these skilled laborers mm-hmm. here in New York State, there was an article. Oh, are we back? Can you hear me at WEOS?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Oh, there we go. Okay, we're back.
Okay.
Sorry about that, listeners.
Yeah.
Mike Manikowski, Chief Economic Developer for Ontario County. What are you seeing in Ontario County, and what were your first reactions to President Trump's comments?
Well, my first reactions to...
Okay, I don't know if we just can't hear them or listeners, if you can't hear them. So we're going to continue this conversation with Matt Herlin in studio here at GRE.
Sure.
With GRE. I wanted to bring up the skilled labor issue.
Yeah.
Because Dottie Gallagher-Cohen of the Buffalo-Niagara Partnership told the Buffalo News that President Trump has this situation backwards. And she's saying there are good jobs coming to places like Buffalo, good jobs coming to places like Rochester, and more good jobs would come here if not for what is euphemistically described as the quote-unquote skills gap. So she's saying that most highly skilled workers are leaving the area. People who stay don't have the skills to fill positions in modern high-tech manufacturing industries. Stand by, everyone, as we try to work through these technical issues. Sorry about that. Matt, do you think there's a skills gap issue in the Rochester area?
Well, it's a little bit of a it depends on what the skill is and what the industry is. There are we have a highly talented, productive, competitive workforce in this region, and we're blessed by great institutions of higher learning. Our community college system is excellent, as well as our vocational education systems, so there the gap can sometimes be on the particulars of the industry. So we have companies now in optics, photonics. We have an outstanding optics program at Monroe Community College as well as the University of Rochester. And the graduates of those programs are sometimes hired before they even complete their degree. We've got many small to medium-sized companies who are looking for talented people now who could be certified. They don't necessarily need a full degree, if you will, but an industry-recognized credential would help them start on the path. And many times the company would hire them and then help them pay for that educational continuance to become an engineer in their desired field. So I think there is a bit of that where we've got some folks who could use some additional training, and it's actually part of a conversation we're having at Greater Rochester Enterprise, in addition with the Chamber of Commerce and other folks, to encourage people to take those classes so that we have the workforce for the companies that are existing in the region, but also the companies that we're bringing here. It is about a talent pipeline. Talent is the most critical issue in every community of the state. Talent is also the reason why American Packaging decided to build a building here, a new building, 350,000 square feet in the town of Chilai. It is going up right now, and the reason they're doing that is because of the talent, the connectivity to the Rochester Institute of Technology, skills training at Monroe Community College, and the food and beverage assets and connectivity that they have in the region. And it is really a bit unique, and many people don't know that.
Are you hearing from companies who are thinking about coming to the area but are expressing either frustration or concerns about not having the types of workers that they need to fill positions?
Well, talent is a key driver. So prove to me, oftentimes, especially with technology and forecasting, companies do have a good sense of where talent is available. Many times we've had a conversation, especially in labor analytics, on the site selection process, where site consultants tend to put a pin on a map and draw a 30-mile radius, and that they think that's where their talent pool comes from. And in our region, as you know, our commutes are very short. So our talent pool goes well beyond a 30-mile radius. So our population draw, and we've seen this modeled when Mueller Quaker was hiring, when Barilla was hiring, folks are coming from well outside of that 30-mile radius for those jobs. We've got a great, talented workforce here who's very productive, and they're willing to travel a little bit for good jobs.
Mm-hmm. I think we're back on track with WEOS. So, Mike and Matt, can you hear me in Geneva?
Hear you just right.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Great. Perfect. Thanks for your patience with that. So let's work our way back a little bit. We'll revisit this skills issue in just a moment. But Mike, I'd like to get your thoughts on President Trump's comments. What were your initial reactions upon hearing them?
My reaction was one of, he may have those views, but certainly we don't see it here in Ontario County. And I'm responsible for Ontario County. My colleague Matt Horn is responsible for the city of Geneva. We have numbers here that show that our, you know, manufacturing jobs in Ontario County has grown by 11, almost 12% between 2010 and 2016. So we're not seeing that at all. And I think one of the reasons we don't see that is we have a very deliberate strategic approach to economic development. We focus from within. We harvest the opportunities that are presented to us by our existing, outstanding, diverse economic base. And we also work on entrepreneurial opportunity, and Matt can speak to that in the city of Geneva. They do a great job. We work with our key sectors. We try to work very hard on workforce development. As Matt Hurlbut has said, that is an absolute key issue. In the 21st century, instead of people following jobs, jobs are following people. And we see that in our county. So we've adjusted our strategic plan to work more on community development, create the places that are really attractive to the technical people, the professional, the engineers, the entrepreneurs that we need to attract. And I think we've created an environment here in the county that's very successful in doing that. In economic development, we are involved in airports, rail, fiber optics, the fundamental things that create the quality and accessibility that you need to attract the right people to your community. But our fundamental concern is our existing base, helping them grow, helping them develop, mergers, acquisitions, joint ventures. We get involved in all of that stuff, and business to business. We promote a lot of business to business with the county. Our population continues to grow, and our median income is outstanding, higher than the state average. So we're not complacent. We want to take it to the next level, but we don't see anything like what the president is describing for this part of upstate New York.
Let's look at some of your specific numbers, Mike. You sent over some data. So between 2000 and 2014, overall job growth surged 13%, far above regional, state, and national
levels.
Yeah,
I wish I tried to get that updated. That is a little dated, but that's that's the current data that we have. Sometimes it lags behind a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. But between 2010 and 2016, the number of manufacturing jobs grew by 11.5% in Ontario
County. That's correct.
Even though manufacturing jobs in New York State declined 1.9%. So
that's correct.
You're absolutely right. What we're seeing here is not really the picture that the president was painting for parts of upstate New York. I see the phone starting to ring. Listeners, just hang tight for a couple moments as we work through a few more things. Matt Horn is the Geneva City manager, joining us also from WEOS. Matt, how did you react when you heard President Trump's comments?
Well, you know, it took me aback simply from the standpoint of this is a person who puts themselves out there as a fighter, as somebody who's going to attack challenges head on, and the idea that he would encourage a group of people to kind of cut and run, even if his data was wrong, it seemed counterintuitive to his original messaging. One thing I do know, I'm a transplant, actually. I came from Atlanta. I worked in the Southeast in communities from Virginia to South Carolina to Atlanta. And I can tell you that the picture in upstate New York is similar to what those communities are facing. If you shift to, as Mike points out, if you're strategic in your approach and you shift as the market shifts and you change your tactics to deal with current conditions, then you're going to be successful, as Ontario County has been successful and as I think the city of Geneva has been successful. Upstate New York and the Rust Belt certainly had a tough, you know, 40 years, 30, 40, 50 years. And what we're seeing now is, I think, the emergence of a coordinated approach. I'm excited to have, you know, Matt Hurlbut and GRE in the studio there, because, you know, they represent what I think is really a regional look at economic development. Mike and I are sitting here together. I know that economic development doesn't stop at the city limits. Mike knows that economic development doesn't stop at the county line. So I think the focus that Governor Cuomo and others have brought to this regional economic development approach has really lifted a lot of ships here in the region. And Geneva's been a beneficiary of that. And as Mike points out, it's really been our approach to create the kind of community that people want to live in, talented, successful people want to live in, and the jobs follow right along, as Mike's data points out.
Matt, when you look at the influx of new businesses in Geneva, do you find that they're related to a certain demographic in the area?
I would say they're related to what's going on in the region. And for us, we're seeing a lot of food and beverage folks coming to Geneva, and not just in the form of restaurants. Of course, downtown Geneva is distinguishing itself as a destination for culinary and beverage consumers. But we're starting to see, because of the culinary bounty of the region, the agricultural bounty of Ontario County and the Finger Lakes, we're starting to see an influx of food production folks, of food innovators in the field of food manufacturing and processing. Well, the great thing about that is it deals with a range of demographics. So we selected food and beverage as a target, not just because of the environment in the Finger Lakes, but because we know we've got a range of skill sets in Geneva and in the region, so that if you're very skilled at either advanced manufacturing or in the culinary world, if you're an amazing chef, we're going to have a space for you on that continuum, all the way down to less skilled folks who'd like to get into the business and learn more about it and work their way up. And we have jobs available across that entire spectrum, and we've created an environment where those food production companies want to be close to the farmers, the chefs want to be close to the food production companies, and so forth. So it really creates this really cool network of food and beverage firms.
There are a couple of people on the line who may disagree with our premise that there are a lot of jobs to choose from here in upstate New York. And first up is Mike in San Francisco. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Going well. So you are now in San Francisco. Are you a Rochester native and you moved for a job?
Yeah, I moved to San Francisco May 2016.
And what kind of industry are you in?
Ironically, I'm actually in the culinary field.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Well, let's have a discussion. So when you were here in Rochester, what types of positions were you looking for? Chef positions, or was it outside of that?
I mean, the restaurant dynamic in Rochester is so closely knit, and it's not easy to move up. I was happy just to work, but there's definitely like a glass barrier, I want to say. So unless you have the right connections, it's not easy to get ahead, if that makes sense.
Have you found that same issue in California, or were you able to find it?
No, absolutely not. Just from the standpoint of, you know, compensation for work, there's a huge difference. I would say in New York, the sense I always got was at the job, you got the sense from the owner or the management, like, hey, you're lucky to work here. Whereas out here, the attitude seems to be like, hey, we're lucky you work here, which was a huge, like, shock to me. You know, I've been cooking for 20 years, and I'm used to, like, working very hard and just barely scraping by to, you know, doing the same amount of work and actually making a livable income. It was, like I said, it was a huge shock.
I'll open this up to our guests. Is this something that you're hearing from people in the area, Matt and Mike?
Well, this is Matt in Geneva. I think in particularly small business environment, people may opt for the safe bet, right? Somebody they know or a recommendation from a peer, those types of things. I think that probably, you know, at least in days past or years past, that was related to kind of a tightness of opportunity where there were limited number of firms out there doing this work. So people want to make the safe bet and go with who they know. What we're working to do is kind of create more of those opportunities, additional opportunities. What the caller is seeing out west is an abundance of opportunities and a limited number of people to fill them. And so what we're doing here in the Finger Lakes, at least in Geneva and Ontario County, and I know Matt's working on this in Rochester, is creating that demand for those employees such that you will see wages rise. You will see, and we're seeing it now, you'll see wages rise. You'll see the opportunities for advancement really develop out. And I just think that's a product of us just coming of age in the last 10 years. I think that's kind of what the caller was experiencing.
Yeah, that's the hospitality industry, and I think that is a good description, and Matt is on the forefront of doing that in Geneva, in that sector. We see it in technology sectors, advanced manufacturing sectors, health and medical sectors. Here, in my experience in the county, is that wages are trending upward because of the shortness of the supply, as Matt Hurlbut said. And we spend a tremendous amount of our time working with the workforce development community, working with our industries, helping them develop their incumbent workforce so they can upskill, getting people into the pipeline that have the essential middle skills. And we're seeing the wages and benefits for those skilled jobs growing here in our area.
Mike, one last question for you. Mike on the phone in San Francisco. If the industry here were to develop more and become more like what you're seeing in San Francisco, would you come back to Rochester? I think you just answered the question.
I mean, there's still the issue of winter, but
fair. I think,
we're working on that too.
Yeah, I can't do anything about that one.
Yeah. I mean, I came out here because I had a great opportunity. So if a great opportunity opened up back home, I would not be adverse to it.
Mm-hmm. So. Great. Thanks so much for calling, Mike. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's take our only break of the hour, listeners. When we come back, we'll talk more about the economic development opportunities here in upstate New York with Matt Hurlbut, interim president and CEO of Greater Rochester Enterprise, GRE, Matt Horn, Geneva City Manager, and Mike Manikowski, Chief Economic Developer for Ontario County. And you can call in with your questions and your stories, 844-295-TALK. That's 844-295-8255. Or if you're in Rochester, 263-WXXI, 263-9994. Short break, more connections next. Coming up in our second hour, we speak with candidates for Rochester City School Board. There are six candidates running for three positions in this year's race. And last night, all six candidates attended a public forum where they discussed issues like how to increase teacher diversity in the district, how to help kids who experience trauma, how to help struggling schools, and much more. We'll talk to the first three candidates in a series of conversations. That's next hour. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Megan Mack, filling in for Evan Dawson today. Let's get right back to your phone calls. Next up is Aiden in Rochester. Hi, Aiden. Are you there? Aiden? All right. Aiden, if you can hear, call back when you are closer to your phone. Lots of technical issues today, everyone. Sorry about that. All right, next up is John in Fairport. Hi, John.
Hi, Megan. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I'd have to say that I would echo a comment I recently heard from Rachel Barnhart, which is that it pains me to say this, but the president is right. We have, broadly speaking, we have the highest taxes per capita of any state in the nation, and we're highly overregulated, and the evidence of that is all over the place. And over the last 10 years, I recently read in the DNC, I believe, we've lost over 100,000 manufacturing jobs. So while I certainly understand and appreciate the efforts of your guests this afternoon, they're basically local, and they're leveraging some capabilities that we have, both in the workforce and in existing industry, in order to develop the area. But more broadly, New York State's been suffering for decades from job losses owing to its policies.
Okay, thanks. John, stay on the line for us. Matt Hurlbut, do you have any reactions to that?
Well, I think we've seen some improvement in some of the policies, and there are statistics that bear that out. The Tax Foundation study that comes out annually, New York is typically on the bottom. There's been some corporate tax reform, some income tax reform, property tax cap, which is helping. It takes a little time for that to kick in. And certainly we hear that as well as we reach out. We're in competition with other states, and that those questions are pointed out to, or those issues are pointed out to us. But I will say oftentimes we hear, and again, as I hate to repeat myself, but proximity to market, talent, access to water, the technology and assets that we have here, which is the job we're trying to do, is make people aware of that, and how the economy here has changed. Many people don't know the diversity of the economy, the food and beverage industry, gaming, information technology, software. We do compete very well in that space, but you would always like it to be a little better. Certainly, some reform in that. And I think that's not on any one person or administration. It takes everybody working together, which is something that we try to do in the work that we do. It's a very collaborative effort. It's a team approach in this region. We get along well with everyone. And singing from that same songbook helps us all move things forward.
Mike Manikowski, any reactions to John's comment?
I tend to agree with Matt. Under the governor's leadership, there have been some very positive things done in terms of corporate taxes, manufacturing, environment. That's been very helpful. But still, the regulatory environment can be burdensome. These are things that, are matters of state policy, state regulation. We try to work on these through our various organizations. So I try to keep a balanced view of what's happening, but I certainly can say, in spite of that, we've been able to see substantial growth and expansion of our manufacturers, of our key sectors in the county, and actually have attracted companies from North Carolina, to come to Ontario County. So it's, yes, it's an issue, But working with them, providing the assistance we can provide, focusing on workforce, a long-term pipeline, there are things that can be done to overcome that. But it does take a concentrated, concerted, strategic effort and a never-give-up effort on the part of the communities.
Matt Horn, any comments?
Well, and nobody likes regulation. Nobody likes taxes. From my standpoint, it's a lot about what kind of a community do we want to be? What kind of a state do we want to be? Looking at the regulatory environment on the environmental side, for example, we work with a company here in Geneva, Shiseido. They have a very large, they're a Japanese firm, have a very large manufacturing presence in the city. Our largest manufacturer, close to 800 folks working over there on any given day. And one of the things that Shiseido holds out as a hallmark to their effort is a dedication to environmental stewardship. And so when they expand in Geneva, when they invest in Ontario County, they're doing so in a lot of ways because their take on the world, their take on the environment is the same as Ontario County's, as the city of Geneva's, and as the state of New York. And that requires some regulation. And it can be a pain. It is a pain. But you also have to think about what you're protecting, what the regulations are there to protect. New York has a proud history of protecting its workforce, protecting its workers. So regulations have to be put in place to protect its workforce. And so it drives up cost, absolutely. And I hate more than anything seeing New York, where it ranks from a tax perspective, the city of Geneva on the property tax side, where it ranks. But I also understand what the dollars and cents that it takes and the regulations that it takes to develop out the kind of assets that we want to see here in New York State and in the Finger Lakes region.
John, any follow-up?
Well, I would say, first of all, again, just to reiterate, I think the local economic development of folks, including your guests and others, are doing a good job of playing the hand they've been dealt. But the governor's efforts in terms of reducing taxes, it's like spitting in the ocean. You know, you can nibble away at this, but still be at the bottom of the list. And that's where we are. And what typically happens is we're taxed to within an inch of our lives. The money goes to Albany, and then we have to compete to get it back. And so once we've won the competition, the governor rides into town and acts like he's doing us a big favor. We'd be much better off if we were to emulate the policies of states that are attracting the jobs. And it's not just Sunbelt states. I mean, you could look at Ohio as a state that's growing its job base. So I think your guests are doing a good job, and I think they're doing a good job of making their case today. But Ontario County and Monroe County are just part of the upstate effort, and I think, like I said, there's some good things going on. But overall, the policies that our legislature and our governor are pursuing are hurting our chances, and that's why, even though I think President Trump could have said it more delicately, just like about everything else he says, the reality is that mobility is a big reason that the U.S. economy does well. Our ability to our workforce moves to where the jobs are. So when he says move to Wisconsin, what he's really saying is that folks who are in areas where economic development isn't keeping up with the demand for jobs should move to the areas where they are. Mm-hmm. Maybe, and I think your first caller, the gentleman from San Francisco is, in effect, a good example of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks, John. That reminds me of a question I had earlier. Guest, do you think that it's too romantic of an idea or unrealistic of an idea for people in our area today to think that I grew up here, I want to stay here and work here, live here for a long time? Is that the kind of mentality that we should be comfortable having? I bring this up because a colleague of mine here, we were talking about this very issue the other day, and she said, I love Rochester. I grew up here. I have no intentions of leaving. And I said, well, what would happen if you didn't have your job anymore, which will not happen if you're listening. You are not in danger. And she didn't really know what to say. So do you think that we should be more open-minded? Maybe as John said, should we be more open-minded to being mobile? Matt Horn, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I certainly respect John's viewpoint. Again, having been a person who has moved around, who has been pretty mobile in my career, I experience what you're talking about every day here in Geneva. In case after case after case, what I'm seeing is either people in the community who want to stay here kind of creating opportunities, so starting a small business, taking on an entrepreneurial venture so that they can create a life for themselves and their family that keeps them here, or getting up, you know, going to college, going away for 10 years, creating that career elsewhere, and then coming back here and benefiting us with the expertise that they've seen. But I think part of creating an environment where we all want to live is retention, right? I mean, that's a benefit of that. People see what's happening in the Finger Lakes, see what's happening in Geneva and Ontario County and Rochester, and say, this is where I want to be, where I want to raise my family. So Mike calls it internal harvesting. That's goal number one. The people who are here, keep them here and keep them employed and make them prosperous.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else want to jump in on that?
Well, I just say oftentimes it comes down to an individual circumstance, just like our first caller. So if you're in a certain industry, you have an interest, whether it be the weather or a larger market or a particular skill set that fits a market, and where is that? And I think what you hear from all of us in the studio today is that we're working to create a climate where there are more opportunities for folks, and not just in the jobs we're talking about companies expanding, but bringing more opportunities here. And talent is a key part of that. So, and what we're hearing more of now are folks who perhaps left for collegiate or other reasons who want to come back. So I get calls from many people who have left the area, are living in larger metros, or thought the pastures were greener elsewhere, and they want to know what's going on because they're interested in coming back for a variety of reasons. And the segment that typically comes up with this from a demographic standpoint is that 25 to 34 age cohort, and we have above the national average in that realm. So I think we have a good story to tell. It is a story that needs to be told more often. So one of the things that we try to work on is encouraging people to talk about the reasons why they do live here and they want to stay here, and to be a little more positive and to work together. I think that the other challenge that we have is we've got a lot of great companies in this region, and we have that Midwestern mentality where oftentimes they don't tell their story. You've got some very unique technologies. We solved the problem with the Hubble telescope. We've got people who are designing outstanding technologies, whether it be information technology, working on satellite-related initiatives, vaccines at the University of Rochester, as well as the outstanding work just kind of over the regional border with Cornell. Outstanding, smart people here. And we often sell ourselves short, and that's what we really need everybody to do. GRE is a small organization, relatively speaking. We do everything that we can to encourage growth and opportunity for people, but it really is an effort where we all need to be a little bit more positive about the outstanding reasons why this community is so great. And some of it is as simple as quick commutes, productivity. If you want to go to Atlanta and take an hour and a half to drive 15 miles, then I wish you the best of luck. But there are some things that we can get in this community that you can't get anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mobility is a fact of life. Certainly, the caller is correct. It does happen. In my own experience, I have a daughter who lives in England because of work opportunities. However, from an economic development approach, we really do focus on talent and trying to create the places like Geneva that are very attractive to talent. And talent means entrepreneurial people, skilled people, professional people. We work with our colleges. We are going to be doing a lot more with that to make sure that the graduates from our local colleges know about the opportunities. And even taking that to the next level to work with our primary and secondary educational groups in terms of what the workforce of the 21st century is going to look like, and what we can do to prepare our children to participate in that workforce of the second part of the 21st century, and then how do we expose them to the great opportunities that are present in our community.
All of our phone lines are lit up, so we're going to try to spend the remaining part of the hour answering all of your questions. Up next on the phones is Gabriel in Rochester. Hi, Gabriel.
Hi.
What's your question or comment?
I'd like to offer an alternate perspective from the culinary industry. I grew up in Rochester
and moved to San Francisco at the age of 22. That was 9 years ago. And I spent 8 years learning and working out there, ran several kitchens, and recently moved back to Rochester with the goal of opening my own restaurant. A lot of factors brought me back here, proximity to family being one, but also I think that there's a lot of economic opportunity here. Cost of doing business is substantially lower, and I find that the regional agriculture and the landscape give me really, at risk of sounding a little like a hippie, awesome inspiration. So I just wanted to sort of offer an optimistic perspective from my industry.
Great. Thanks, Gabriel. Any reactions from our panel?
I agree with that. We hear that a lot. Well, it is interesting. We actually had two site selection consultants in the region about a week ago, and they were here for a day and a half. And it's hard to show the depth and breadth of all of the region's assets. And this was particular to food and beverage, but they work in a variety of industries. And they were both, one of the individuals does a lot of work in the Midwest, had been in Rochester, but not in the past 20 years. And he left really inspired with a new appreciation of everything that's going on here. And he's actually going to write a piece about that. And it is, that's what we really try to do, is get folks, especially in that realm where they're paid hundreds of dollars an hour to advise companies on how to best use facility and infrastructure assets, and getting those folks here to understand what is going on in this region, especially if they've been here before, to understand what has changed and how connected we are, as well as how many assets there are to support their industry across the supply chain. And both of them left. The other gentleman was from Dallas, actually, and both of them left impressed and told us that, you know, you're going to be on our short list. And that's what we want. And so that's the feedback that we get, that we try to impart on the folks that invest in Greater Rochester Enterprise, as well as those that we'd like to invest in Greater Rochester Enterprise. You know, there's a reason we are having success, but certainly if we all worked collaboratively, I think there's more to be had there. And so that's the message we really try to send.
We had an email come in from a listener named Evan. He says, "Hi, Megan, I just left my job as GM of several local bars and pubs, I won't name them," he said, "because I needed to leave and there were no lateral moves for me. I was killing myself to build a business and needed a new opportunity, but I was either too qualified for some jobs or underqualified for others because I was competing with a limited but extremely qualified and talented pool. I left so I could come back to be one of those rock stars." So,
great.
Yeah. Up next on the phones is Linda in Penfield. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Megan. Hello, everybody. I just have a comment, and then I have a question. And this is a comment that goes back to the whole issue about taxes and everything. And the gentleman was saying, well, we've lost jobs in manufacturing because of taxes. Now, okay, if you look at places that have lost manufacturing jobs, we're talking Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and their tax rate is lower than ours, and they lost jobs. Okay, that's the one thing. The second thing, this goes back to the caller who was calling from San Francisco. You talk about a place with taxes, okay? The places where that's people true. Are moving to have some of the higher cost of living, if there is such a word, in this country. So it's not all about the taxes, which then leads me to my third point, which is I hear a lot about the unfilled jobs that are in this area, and I believe I'm talking about the skilled trades, machinists, tool and die. And I think that not enough has been made about those opportunities. And I would like to ask the two gentlemen there what kind of thoughts they have about advertising or talking about these more so we can get folks into those lines of work that can have a sustainable wage, you can raise a family, and to provide opportunities for folks who may not be your traditional college student, mm-hmm. but they can still work for a living. So I appreciate you listening to me, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda.
I'd like to comment on that, Megan. I think the caller is right on. We have definitely a bit of a skills gap, especially in advanced manufacturing and technology, where we do have openings and where wages are going up because of that. We've been very successful in collaborating to form groups like Finger Lakes Advanced Manufacturing Enterprise, which we did through the Finger Lakes Workforce Investment Board. That's a group of advanced manufacturers who spends a lot of time, money, and effort getting that message back to students at community colleges, students in primary and secondary education about the skilled jobs in advanced manufacturing and what that means for a good life and a high quality of life, good income, good benefits, good career ladders, et cetera. So this is something that we spend a lot of time on. This is part of our harvesting from within. How do we make sure that we get local people into these pipelines, local students into these pipelines? That will help us not only retain these great businesses, and some are small, but help us retain these great businesses and help them grow.
Mm-hmm. Matt Herblett, I saw you nodding along.
Yes. Yeah, the simple response to that call is yes. there are a lot of opportunities, and part of the discussion we're having from a strategic standpoint, and I think you've seen this in the at the regional council level as well, is the discussion about technical jobs. We've worked on projects where we're talking about semiconductor opportunities. It's a $4 billion investment, up to 3,000 job opportunity in the region. And it is a fact that about 20% of those would be filled by engineers, but the other 80% of those jobs are technician level, if you will. And some can be a complete associate's degree, but others can be industry recognized certifications. So it is a message that we need to get out in the community to a larger extent. And I know Monroe Community College, Finger Lakes Community College, Genesee Community College are working on that with school systems, et cetera. And the other thing is, this is where you get into the issues regarding the comment that was made earlier about manufacturing numbers being down. And that may scare people off from those jobs, but it's important to understand where the slippage is in manufacturing and where the hiring is. So there is the higher level skilled positions are available, whereas some of the less skilled positions in manufacturing have gone offshore, and there's been productivity gains. That's the thing that most people miss in this manufacturing conversation, is a lot of those jobs, even in China, there have been manufacturing job losses because productivity and advanced technology has changed the way those jobs were typically done.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a whole other show in itself that
yes,
we can
it
absolutely revisit. Sheila on Twitter agrees with this idea to promote the skilled trades. She says, encourage your guests to partner with high schools to provide access to technology, trades, and agricultural training. College is not the only path. She says, 3 out of 4 kids have left the area because they work in the trades. I think she means her kids. Affordable housing, wages, attitudes toward tradesmen drove them west, not taxes. She says, all 3 said they return here to raise kids. So thank you for that, mm-hmm. Sheila. Against my better judgment, we'll take one more call. Looks like Aiden's back. Aiden, we got to keep it tight.
Hi. Hello.
Hi, Aiden. Go ahead.
I'm here.
Okay. What's your question or comment?
So I just have one comment. I'm a forever 12. I work at the mall, and I have a job, and I'm staying in upstate New York along with my parents, and I think that Donald Trump's wrong.
Okay. Well, thank you, Aiden.
Me too.
Okay. I do want to cite a few, some census data that I looked at earlier today, thanks to a listener who sent this over. The population in Monroe County dipped slightly in 2015. This is data from 2016 that was compiled in 2016. The county had 749,600 residents compared to 750,362 the year before, so a decrease. And this article, which is from WROC, cites that weather, job loss, and taxes are among the top reasons for that. So we're hearing a lot of different perspectives this hour, but we're down to our last couple minutes, and I just like to go back around to each of our guests and ask them to share what they think is most likely to happen the next 5 years. What kind of growth and opportunity do you think we'll see here in the area in the next 5 years? We'll start here in Rochester with Matt Herblett.
I think you're going to see the food and beverage industry is going to continue to be hot. the farm-to-table initiative, organics, as well as our proximity to markets, access to fresh water and talent is going to lead a lot of those opportunities. And I also think you're going to see a win in the advanced manufacturing realm in the sense of semiconductor-related opportunities where we see a build in that space because of the site, low-cost power, and the talent that we have. And that goes from Buffalo to Rochester to Syracuse. We have a great opportunity here, and we're all working together. So,
Matt Horn, 15 seconds. Same question for you.
More collaboration is going to drive better productivity on the local economic development front. We think as a region, we'll grow as a region.
Great. And Mike Manikowski.
Certainly what Max said, ag, food, beverage, wine, the agricultural economy is going to be increasingly important in the next 5 years.
Great. Thank you. Thanks to all of our guests, Matt Hurlbut, Interim President and CEO of Greater Rochester Enterprise, Matt Horn, Geneva City Manager, Mike Manikowski, Chief Economic Developer for Ontario County. And thank you to all the listeners who called in, who emailed, who shared their thoughts on Twitter. Our apologies to those who called and we couldn't get to you, just ran out of time. Thanks to our colleagues at WEOS, Kelly and Greg, always doing great work there. Stay with us. More Connections is next.